Hi everyone, my name is Eugenia Chow and I run the Instagram account Ugreenia. The Everyday Activist podcast is founded under the belief that there's no one-size-fits-all approach to activism and anyone can get involved. Gaia Ratazzi, also known as Sustainably on Instagram, is an expert when it comes to all things sustainable fashion. Born and raised in Italy, she creates educational resources, raising awareness about problems caused by her demand for cheap clothing. As an ambassador for Remake Our World and Slow Fashion Season, she also inspires others with many ways to become better, more conscious consumers. In this episode, we discuss the implications of conscious consumerism, how the fashion industry perpetuates modern-day slavery, ways to identify greenwashing, and how we can move forward post-pandemic to achieve true social justice in the fashion industry. I'm constantly in awe of how much Gaia knows about the subject, so it was truly an honor to be able to speak with her and learn more about her perspectives on the fashion industry. I definitely learned a lot from this conversation, so I hope you will as well. Hi Gaia, and welcome to this episode of the Everyday Activist podcast. I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, thanks for having me. So excited to speak to you today.
So firstly, could you tell us a bit about your background? What inspired you to start this account? Did you always have an interest in fashion or sustainability? And basically, what would you want the audience to know about you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm 18. I'm from Italy, even though I lived in Australia in Perth for 2 years. And I've always been interested in sustainability, mostly because my parents really raised me that way, to reduce my food waste, to just buy what I need. And so, yeah, it's also thanks to them that I cultivated this interest in this subject. And yeah, when I started my IB diploma in a high school here in Italy, I studied ESS. Which is a subject that stands for environmental systems and societies. And yeah, that's where I got into sustainability from a sciencey point of view, and I learned more about it. And I mean, at first I made connections with like the food industry and animal agriculture, so I was vegan for a while, but I questioned where my food came from, but not where my clothes came from. And so I was buying lots of things, but never wondered what went behind them. And so as I started researching more about it and learning all the impacts of the fashion industry, I decided to create this account, which I started in November 2019, to educate people on these impacts that I feel like most of us don't know. But they are important things to know because everyone wears clothes, so everyone contributes to the fashion industry. So yeah, I just hope to raise awareness on the impacts and what we can do as consumers and as citizens to lessen them.
So how do you think living in Italy or growing up in Italy, which is oftentimes known as one of the greatest fashion capitals in the world, has influenced your relationship with fashion and, as a result, also sustainability?
Yeah, so I feel like there's a huge difference between how older people perceive clothes and younger people. So there's a really big culture of like style and fashion here, because as you said, it's one of the, especially Milan, one of the capitals of fashion. And yeah, I noticed the difference between how the older demographic cares for clothes and what they buy and how like they last. So since clothes used to be made here in Italy, they were better quality. And so people like my parents and my grandparents have bought clothes during their lifetime that of a good quality that lasts them. And so yeah, there is this kind of culture of making things last and caring for our clothes, mostly because before clothes costed more. But with younger people, I feel like most of them buy from fast fashion stores because it's just cheaper and yeah, more affordable. And I mean, it's just trendy items that everyone wears. So so yeah, I found that it's difficult to get people my age to shift from a more conscious consumerism. But yeah, I think that we should really get back to like how our parents had a relationship with clothes, like made them last and cared for them more. So yeah, there is this change that has happened since fast fashion came around.
Yeah, so you talked about how there's a difference between the younger generation and the older generation. And I guess the younger generation they treat clothes more as more of like a disposable thing. So when you are faced with a situation where perhaps one of your friends is over consuming, how do you respond to that? And how do you confront them about this?
Yeah, so my first reaction is getting angry. But then I remember, like, I was also like that. Like, I used to buy lots of clothes and not really caring about where they came from or what I was supporting. So what I think is really powerful, and what I'm actually doing through my Instagram or trying to do, is just starting from education. I think education is key, because most people, it's not like they don't care. They just don't know it, that they don't know the impacts of the fashion industry. But at the same time, I don't really want to come off as preachy. So I don't really just want to throw facts at them. And that could be intimidating, and it could be overwhelming at first to just learn about all the bad things all at once. So I think I usually try to focus on telling people that a shift to slow fashion would not lead to a reduction comfort, or it's not like you're missing out on anything, because trends and accumulating so many clothes isn't really good for your wardrobe and your wallet. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I also try to connect it to issues that the person cares about. So say they really like animals, I try to connect animal agriculture and the impacts that has, and relate it to the fashion industry through the use of like wool and cashmere and animal fibers in general. And I also try to not be negative. Like, it's not all doom and gloom. Like, we actually have power. There's so many opportunities to change. And I think we're moving in the right direction right now. And there's a great community, especially through social media, that really helps people use their voice and spending power for good. So yeah, as well as showing them the problems, I think it's important to show them the solution, and that it's just simple changes that people can do to really be better. And yeah, just empathize with them, because it's also really subjective. I mean, not everyone has the means to shop from sustainable fashion brands. And I think it is a privilege to be able to say no to fast fashion. So I try not to judge people, because that's just not fair.
Yeah. So you mentioned how having a community, especially on social media, has been really helpful for this sustainable fashion journey. I saw that you're an ambassador for the Slow Fashion Season movement. Could you talk a bit more about this Crowd Act campaign and how it's played out? Do you think it's been making an impact, and whether people have been receptive to this whole initiative?
Yes, absolutely. So I really like this this project, because it really helps people find their power, because we often think like our individual choices won't bring change. They won't really have a consequence, because I'm just one person. But with this initiative, bringing people together, it just makes everyone feel more powerful, because what I'm doing is also being done by so many other people. And so you really see that you have power. And I think it's also like really easy what they're asking us to do. Like, this year, since with COVID, lots of small businesses have been suffering. It's not that you shouldn't buy new clothes for 3 months. It's that you should avoid fast fashion and buy secondhand, or support local and small businesses that produce clothes in a sustainable way. So I think it's really easy, and yeah, a great first step to move into slow fashion. And I think it's a great community in general. And yeah, through their page, they also educate people on how their choices are having an impact, a positive impact, by shopping less and just buying what we need. So yeah, it's great. And there's also Remaker World and Fashion Revolution, which are great initiatives that that really helped me get into this movement.
Mm-hmm. So to give everyone a sense of how we all have to start somewhere, because earlier you talked about how you used to contribute to fast fashion as well. And obviously, before you learn about this issue, it's really easy to participate in the system. So could you describe what your shopping habits used to be like before you learned about this issue?
Yeah, sure. So I used to buy a lot. Like, I used to really like following trends. And I mean, I still like to do that, but I don't buy into every trend. And also, when there's something trendy that I like, I usually can find it secondhand or even like in my mom's wardrobe, because trends come around. So it's something that was trending like 10 years ago, maybe trending now again. So old clothes, they just become trendy again. So you don't need to shop for new things. And so, yeah, I used to buy lots of things and not really caring about the impacts that had. And I mean, I kind of got lost. I didn't really know my style, since I was just buying everything that I liked and not really thinking about like what I could pair that with, or do I have something similar. And so I was just accumulating so much in my wardrobe that led me with a really confusing wardrobe that made me feel like I had nothing to wear every morning. And so I just realized, like, this is not normal. What am I doing? And I was also wearing things once, lots of the time. So I decided that it was really time for a change. And I mean, it felt overwhelming at first. I felt quite guilty that I was contributing to all these negative impacts. But it's definitely been very liberating to, like, just give up the attachment that we have to things, and the fact that we feel like we always have to have new things and buy into trends to feel like we fit in, that we're accepted. And that's just a really toxic mentality that fast fashion has fueled. And also through social media, I mean, even Instagram now has become a place where you can buy things. And I think it's great. It's not easy, but it really feels great to be able to like detach ourselves from these ads that we're constantly bombarded with. And yeah, so just being more mindful before we buy, like think about what we like, if it really fits our style, if we really need it, if we have something to pair it with. There's lots of questions that we usually don't ask because we have these like fear of missing out. So there's a limited edition, maybe there's something on sale. So we just buy it straight away in order to like not miss out on it. But then we realize most of the times that we don't actually need it. So what I usually do now, I often just walk away even when I like something, because I realize, well, I mean, even just doing window shopping is fun. You don't always need to buy something.
Yeah, for sure. So what are your current criteria for when you want to buy clothes?
Well, I already own a lot of things. So usually I just try to create new outfits with what I already own, and also like repurpose or repair things I have that don't quite fit well anymore. Then I just look into like my mom's wardrobe and like my friend's wardrobe and swapping clothes. That's something I really like to do, because I mean, I also try to sell my clothes, but it's not always easy. So I feel like it's a really fun way when you can swap things with your friends. And if I can't borrow it or get it from someone else, I usually shop secondhand. And unfortunately, here in Italy, there's not like thrift stores where you can find cheap things. There's only like vintage stores, which are beautiful. They have such good quality clothes, but they're quite expensive. So I also buy from Depop, which has lots of stuff. And then lastly, I buy from sustainable fashion brands. But yeah, that's just really the last thing I do, because I mean, I feel like it's you first need to reduce how much you buy, and then like repurpose, repair, upcycle things, and just get creative with it. It's also really fun. And then as a last thing, if you haven't been able to get the garment you want with the previous your steps, then yeah, you can buy new. And I feel like you save money by buying investment pieces from like slow fashion brands rather than just buying lots of things from fast fashion. So it's like cost per wear that you should look at rather than like cost per item. Because I mean, fast fashion may seem cheaper, but often it isn't, because the garments are such low quality that they really don't last, so that you might find yourself like just throwing it away. So it's not really a deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I really like the concept of doing cost per wear. I think that makes a lot more sense when you actually want to consider what you're getting.
Yeah, exactly.
So some would argue that it's impossible to be a conscious or ethical consumer within a capitalist system. Do you agree with the statement? And on top of that, what does being a conscious consumer mean to you?
Yeah, so this is a really debated argument. And I also made a post about this because I felt like it needed to be talked about. I heard lots of arguments. But I believe that, yeah, it is impossible to like be 100% ethical, because all our purchases will have an impact. And I mean, it's also impossible just because of the society that we live in. I mean, we all have like an iPhone or a phone. So our existence in itself is kind of exploitative. And I mean, there's nothing much we can do about it. Like, we can, of course, reduce the amount of like the amount of negative impacts that we have, but we can't have zero impact. So I think, yeah, it is impossible to be 100% ethical, but that should not by any means stop us from trying, because I mean, it's better to do less harm than to not even trying to do less harm. So yeah, I think that a conscious consumer is, of course, someone who buys less and is just more mindful when buying things, like considering whether they really need it, if they have something that they already have that's similar. And yeah, in general, just knowing what they're supporting and yeah, try to reduce their impacts as much as they can, even though it's impossible to have zero impacts. But we should vote with our wallets, I believe, but we should also make the effort to like support organizations that are trying to make systemic changes, and also just use our voice, especially through social media or like by contacting brands to demand them to do better, because I think boycotting is really effective, but we shouldn't stop there. So yeah, I am a huge fan of like ethical consumption and conscious consumerism. So buying better, buying less, but that's not enough to create systemic change, I believe.
So what are some steps you have taken or you hope to take beyond social media to demand more ethical and sustainable fashion industry?
Yes. So the first step that I've taken is, of course, like try to raise awareness. So like, just inform people of what they're supporting. But yeah, other than that, I am trying to contact brands and pressure them to do better. I'm trying to share petitions that, like the pay up petition that's been really successful, thanks to which lots of garment workers have received the money that brands owed them. And yeah, I'm moving to the UK in September, so I hope to like join some like community programs or just helping the local community as well as looking at the bigger picture, because I think that we often just focus on like consuming better, and but the time spent finding sustainable swaps should be the time used to like research, educate ourselves, and also look at inequalities within our own communities. So yeah, it's just looking at the bigger picture and yeah, just go beyond buying better.
Mm-hmm. So I think recently a lot of people have seen that H&M and Zara and those other like fast fashion companies have been creating like quote unquote sustainable lines. Could you explain the issues around this and perhaps why people may claim otherwise?
Yeah, sure. So, I mean, greenwashing is a huge problem, since lots of people and brands especially are seeing sustainability as a trend, and green greenwashing basically means that a company is marketing themselves as sustainable when they actually don't care, and when their business model is in itself unsustainable. And yeah, Zara and H&M are really good examples of that, because their business model is based on overproduction. And as long as you produce so many garments, you cannot be sustainable, no matter how much of your, how many of your products are made of organic cotton. So it is really hard for customers to distinguish a genuine brand that's fully committed to sustainability from a brand that's greenwashing. But I've actually posted about this on my Instagram, because I think it's really important that we learn how to spot these brands. So you should look at brands who have a holistic approach. So they don't just care about using better materials. They also care about their garment workers, because sustainability is economic, social, and environmental. So you have to look at all of them. You can't just focus on one of these three pillars. Then you should look for brands that are honest, open, transparent, and they admit their mistakes, because you can't ignore that you're overproducing. You need to address that before you look into making sustainable lines. Otherwise, those lines aren't really sustainable. And yeah, that's another point. Like, if they only make one sustainable collection when they have the means to create their whole line sustainable, that just sounds like greenwashing to me. Like, why would you just make one sustainable collection? And sustainability shouldn't be seen like something extra. It should be really the bare minimum. So yeah, just in general, assess their business model and see if they like care about their clothes afterlife, which is extended producer responsibility. And see that if they're taking like real concrete action and not just not just writing policies and paperwork and vague statements, but look for proof, real commitments and facts that that the brand is actually sustainable. And yeah, just follow the news, because some brands that seem to be really sustainable, like Everlane, then were exposed for not actually being sustainable. And yeah, the opposite can be true. So brands that we often shame can actually turn out to be really working towards being more sustainable. So yeah, just adapt your mindset to what you see. There's no permanent friends and enemies, I believe. And lastly, look for certifications like Cradle to Cradle, Fair Trade, Organic Goats, Global Organic Textile Standard. These are just some of the examples, but yeah, just broadly, this is what you can do to identify greenwash.
Yeah. So I saw that you had a really interesting post that addressed the common defense people have against boycotting fast fashion, which is, what about the jobs of the garment workers? And isn't it better that they have some job than no job at all? What is your take on this comment, and what would your response to this be?
Yeah, so I did make a post about this because, I mean, I feel like you're supporting fast fashion brands will not equal your supporting garment workers, because garment workers are known to only earn like 2% of what we pay for a garment. So that's definitely not related. You buying one more garment from like Zara or H&M will not help garment workers. If you want to help garment workers, you should support organizations that do that directly. And I believe like that should not be a justification for supporting these brands, because these brands are just taking advantage of the fact that people are like desperate, because the other option to lose a job it would be worse, but that still shouldn't justify the fact that brands are exploiting these people. And I believe that also comes down to governments, which should enforce stronger regulations and limits on hours, a wage floor, and guaranteeing health and safety requirements. Because multinationals often violate legislations that government have put in place, because they just have so much power, and with the race to the bottom that they're participating in. They just look for cheaper countries to produce in if factories don't agree to like lower the price. I hate the fact that some people say they should just be okay with that job because their options would be worse. I mean, that just sounds so wrong, because it's like you're saying, it's like you see them as lesser than you, that they like kind of deserve to work in these conditions. So it is unjustifiable that people are stuck in these horrible conditions to make our clothes, and sometimes even losing their life to make our clothes, as it happened with the Rana Plaza factory collapse. And also sweatshops are not the basis for development, because these people find themselves trapped in poverty due to such low wages that they can't really save up and become like richer. They're stuck in this poverty trap. And also like the problem is the huge inequality and the fact that people at the top are some of the richest people in the world, people who own these fast fashion brands, and the people at the bottom are some of the poorest women in the world, because it's mostly women who produce our clothes. So, and as fashion revolution researched, it would only cost like around €2 more for a shirt to... I mean, it would only cost $2 more for garment workers to earn a living wage on top of like the price that we usually pay. So that's like not even a huge sacrifice from consumers' point of view. And also it should just be that brands take less for themselves and give garment workers what they deserve. I think no one should die for fashion. So I just don't really like to support that argument, because we should definitely advocate for better conditions.
Yes, for sure. So how do you think the fashion industry can move forward post-pandemic in terms of maybe being more transparent, incorporating more diversity, more accountability, etc.?
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to see companies displaying their supply chain and all their different tiers. It's estimated that around 100 people touch our clothes before they get to us, and only a really small percentage of brands know where like their cotton comes from. And so yeah, that's what's really important in my opinion, that we should really demand more transparency and more accountability, because once we know which brands are associated with which factories, then when something happens, brands can be responsible for those things. I definitely want more transparency, and I think blockchain technology is a great thing that I would love to see more in the future, like being able to like scan the label of a garment to see like all the steps that that it took for that garment to be where it is. Of course, diversity. I've had enough really of performative activism, especially since the Black Lives Matter movement, where brands are just hiring one Black person to portray themselves as diverse and inclusive when they're not actually. That's just tokenism. I would love to see brands taking steps to produce less and to pollute less as well, take responsibility for their pollution and use like less toxic dyes, less water in their production. So yeah, I would also love to see innovations in that area. And of course, in garment workers' rights, which I'm happy that lots of organizations are pushing for. I really hope that things can improve for them, especially given how impacted these people were during the pandemic. So yeah, there's lots of things that need to change, but I do think we're on the right track.
Mm-hmm. Are there any particular organizations you would recommend in terms of supporting garment workers?
Yeah, so there's Clean Clothes Campaign, there's Garment Work, there's Remake Our World, and there's labor behind the label. Yeah, these are the main ones that I'd recommend for like supporting garment workers, and also the International Labor Organization is really doing a lot to stop modern slavery in supply chains. Clothing is one of the the items most at risk of contributing to modern slavery. So.
Yeah. So in terms of modern day slavery, how does this manifest itself into the fashion industry and why is it going unnoticed?
So starting from cotton production, there's this thing called bonded labor, which is basically when farmers are stuck in a cycle of debts that that it's really unclear how they can repay it. So this can tie whole families into bonded labor, even for generations. So a person's labor is exploited to repay a debt to the creditor. And this happens a lot in South Asian countries and also has led to many farmers' suicides. And there's also child labor. There's child labor in cotton production. There's child labor to make our clothes. Forced labor in general all throughout the supply chain, from like making people work unsustainable working hours and not giving them health and safety, giving them poverty wages, the inability to collective bargain. There's human trafficking. There's so much violence and abuse, especially because most garment workers are women. And so they're like more vulnerable to these things. So there's lots of problems that need to be addressed for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so earlier you mentioned that you used to be vegan. Are you still vegan now?
No, I'm not, because of health problems I had with the diet. I try to reduce my meat intake for sure, as I know the impacts of that has on like global warming especially. In terms of fashion, vegan cannot often be used to portray that brands use to portray themselves as being sustainable, but often vegan leather is made of plastic, so that's not really more sustainable.
Yeah,
and I also try to buy like secondhand leather to not support the leather industry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because that's what I was wondering, because I know that a lot of the like fake leather items or so-called vegan materials are usually not that sustainable in terms of the environment. So I was just wondering how you would navigate that as a vegan.
Yeah, exactly. And there's lots of innovations though in that department, like there's leather made from like apple skin, from mushrooms, lots of cool things being created. But just being mindful, because something vegan in fashion does not always mean sustainable. And I think I've heard lots of vegans that still buy secondhand leather, because you're not supporting the leather industry. So
yeah. Yeah, that's something I definitely agree with. So I was surprised when I learned about how the way that you wash your clothes can make a huge difference in terms of your environmental impact. So I was just wondering, what are some other often overlooked methods to reduce the environmental impact of your clothing?
Yeah, so as you said, washing is a great one. We often wash our clothes way more than they should be washed. And also when we wash synthetics, often microplastics reach our oceans. So that's a huge problem. Mm-hmm. But also just washing on cold rather than on hot, and air drying instead of drying with a drying machine. And also just being mindful of how we dispose of clothing, because often the clothes that we donate to even to charities, they're unable to be sold. So they're often shipped to countries in the global south where they don't really have the facilities to properly recycle these clothes. So they're often burnt or thrown into landfills, so polluting their countries. And that happens a lot in Ghana. Just making sure that whoever we give our clothes to actually needs them, and that they're in good condition, that that they can be reworn. Otherwise, we should directly recycle them. And I also have a post on that with all different options that each person, each country has. So even just buying less and just repairing our clothes and making them last as long as possible is also a great way to start.
What do you think are some common misconceptions or myths when it comes to dressing more sustainably and becoming a more intentional fashion wearer?
One of them is shopping sustainably is expensive, which, yeah, it can be if you shop from sustainable brands, because that's the true price of clothing. It's not what we're used to. I mean, when a t-shirt costs $3, then it usually means that someone is paying that price. So, but I think that we shouldn't necessarily have to spend a lot to be a sustainable, a conscious consumer. So I think even just shopping secondhand, making our clothes last and just getting creative with them does not cost a lot of money. And it is a great way to start. I don't like to exclude anyone based on like their budget. Everyone can be a conscious consumer. You don't have to buy from these brands. I understand that it's often hard for people, like young people especially. And another one is I don't have time for this. When I used to shop at fast fashion stores, I used to always want to go back. Like I went around every 2 weeks pretty much to buy new clothes. Now I spend way less time thinking about, like, I need to have that latest jacket. And I don't think you actually need more time to focus on sustainable fashion, because there's lots of like apps like Good On You that rates brands for you. So you just have to open the app and search for a brand that you want to shop from, and they'll tell you if that's sustainable and alternatives that are more sustainable. So I don't think it takes more time. Another one is it's difficult to find. Well, there's lots of sustainable brands actually. So, and also you can shop secondhand with the many online platforms to buy and sell clothes online. It's definitely not difficult now. And there's also the fact that it's usually seen as something not stylish. Like sustainable brands are seen as something really with selling basic items, but I actually believe there's lots of brands that sell really stylish things. Another thing is I can buy as much as I like as long as I recycle, which is something I don't agree with, because I mean that's what brands tell you. I mean, just bring our clothes back to us and you'll have a voucher to spend more in our store. That's just trying to make the customer feel good about their purchases. Yeah. But that's not fixing the problem at its root. So, these are just some things that I often hear.
Yeah. So what does the future of fashion look like to you? How would you want it to look?
Well, definitely, I would love to see fashion being more fair and supply chains not being so complicated and so long and fragmented. And I would love to see brands taking more responsibility for what they produce. And I would love to see less plastic used in clothing. I mean, right now, synthetics make up 60% of our clothes. And just brands being more invested in like reducing their impacts, reducing their water consumption, reducing the usage of chemicals, and being responsible for their impacts, because often as production often happens in countries in the global south, they just don't really care about how they pollute, because it's those rivers they pollute, and that's just wrong. So I would love to see them taking more responsibility for that. And in general, assessing their supply chain, what parts of it are more impactful and reducing impacts there, and just not greenwashing, just acknowledging their mistakes and just trying to do better, because it is a new thing for everyone, but it is something that we all need to improve on. And yeah, in general, these are some things I hope to see. And of course, better wages for garment workers and also consumers buying less. I think that's a huge problem as well. So yeah, that it needs to come from a lot of angles, from governments as well, enforcing strong regulations.
Yeah, so I was wondering, what are your thoughts on the fact that there are now more sustainable / ethical clothing brands cropping up? Do you think this is a good thing, or do you think what's more imperative is that we scale back on the production and consumption of fashion in general?
Yeah, absolutely. We have like enough clothes for like 6 generations right now. So it is really great to see more sustainable brands. But yeah, I think that's really not the problem being addressed at its roots. And of course, brands need to still make profits. So, and as I said, it is impossible to buy something with zero impact. So, I mean, it is great to see, but I think the focus should be on buying less before we buy better.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely agree. So you have a post on your Instagram that's about being an activist. And I think similar to the whole theme of this podcast, I think we have a similar idea of what it means. So I was just wondering if you could talk a bit about what being an activist means to you.
Yeah, sure. So I believe we all have like an inner activist. And I mean, we all also have different personalities. So being an activist does not mean like necessarily that you attend protests and that you're like a frontline activist, even though like those are so important. I believe it's even just living in accordance with your ideals and especially with purchases, like buying things that align with your values and even just making little changes in our daily lives to make a difference. And also choosing what you care most about. There's so many problems in the world right now that it is overwhelming to try to address them all. So just choose what you're more passionate about and fight for that and focus on that. Otherwise, you may feel, yeah, overwhelmed and yeah, feel like you're not really changing anything. I mean, you should just research a lot, read books, watch documentaries, listen to podcasts. Education is the first step to becoming an activist, in my opinion, and also being creative with it. Like, I mean, do you want to create a podcast? Do you want to use social media to spread awareness? Do you want to join an organization? Like, there's so many ways in which we can take action. Yeah, volunteering, donating, voting, protesting, and demanding brands to do better. That's something that's very important, especially in this movement. And yeah, with social media being so popular, like if a tweet like goes viral or a post, that can be really powerful. And if lots of people contact a brand demanding something to change, like for example, during April, there's Fashion Revolution Week and everyone's posting selfies with showing off the label of their clothes, and that really catches brands' attention. I mean, if thousands and thousands of people are doing it, then brands notice and they do see that their customers really want more transparency. So yeah, and I think don't give up, just keep working, fight for what you believe in, never stop learning. It will be hard at times, it will be overwhelming, but just keep going and keep fighting. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So since you're quite the expert about sustainable fashion and ethical fashion in general, I was wondering, what is your main source of inspiration and where do you acquire most of this knowledge yourself?
Well, it really depends on what I'm researching, but I get inspiration from other Instagram accounts. I also, I love Elizabeth Klein's books. They really helped me get into this movement. They're really easy and really insightful and informative. I also really, really like to read both articles, books, and also podcasts like yours helped me. And yeah, I just read articles as well. And it really depends. I just go on Google to research things, or perhaps it's something I've learned. So I look at like my school book, and it just really depends. I don't have one place where I get information from.
So what do you see yourself doing in about 5 years? How do you see your involvement with the fashion industry, I guess, changing or evolving?
Yeah, so I have lots of plans for the future. I'm starting my degree in September, end of September in Leeds University. I'll study environmental management and sustainability. So I want to get into this field in a more general way, but then I would love to study a master's in especially with fashion, connecting sustainability and fashion, because I think it's really a great way to make an impact, since the fashion industry is responsible for a lot of the impacts on the environment and on garment workers. So yeah, there's lots I need to change, and I would love to become like a consultant for a company and to help them be more sustainable. So yeah, that's kind of a dream job, and I don't know yet how I'll get there, but yeah, I'm really motivated and passionate about this.
Mm-hmm. Are there any specific resources that you would recommend for people who want to learn more? So like Instagram accounts, YouTube channels, blogs, stuff like that.
Yeah, so books, as I said, Elizabeth Klein's books, The Conscious Closet, and also Claire Press book. Then there's the Center for Sustainable Fashion released a report on sustainable fashion, and also the Environmental Committee of the UK government released a study on fast fashion. There's also Ocean Remedy, which is a swimwear brand that made a huge research on microplastics, and they have a PDF on their website. These are all the ones that come to mind, but Instagram accounts, there's Michaela Loach, which really helps me with sustainable fashion, inclusivity, intersectionality, and yeah, lots of others, but yeah, they don't really come to mind right now.
Yeah, no, for sure. I think half the people who have been on this podcast have recommended Michaela Loach, so
yeah, she's awesome.
She's great. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Everyday Activist podcast. If you enjoyed it, please be sure to rate and review the show, because that makes a huge difference in helping me get the word of the podcast out. Also, don't forget to subscribe and stay tuned for upcoming episodes. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you next Monday.